Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, good morning again and happy Easter. We're here today to continue our series about living your truth unapologetically. And what is our truth? Our truth is that we are Christ's spirits, learning how to be as Jesus was, learning how to rise to a higher consciousness no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what is going on around in the world around us. Today, we celebrate more than just a moment in history. We celebrate the power of life, the power of resurrection. But the resurrection of what? The resurrection of one person who lived 2,000 years ago. And of course, that was quite a phenomenal event. I think we can all agree, right? Yes. And it was a powerful demonstration. But we can also celebrate right here, right now, in this moment, the resurrection of divine love. It is love that lifts us up and invites us to rise again and again and again, regardless of what is going on. You know, here at Unity, we honor many paths to God. And we look at Jesus not just as a symbol of resurrection, but as a master of radical love. A love that included everybody and still includes everybody. A love that breaks down walls. A love that heals. So today, we're going to look and center ourselves on how Jesus lived rather than how he died. Most of traditional Christianity, from its very inception, which was not with Jesus, by the way, for those of you who don't know, there was no such thing as Christianity in his day. But the foundation of his teaching was loving. Loving with open arms, with open hearts, with a boldness that welcomed the forgotten, the dismissed, the outcast. And today we celebrate that this love is still alive and rising in us. You know, I believe that we are living in a moment in history where the call to rise to Christ's expression has never been greater. Yep. My wife agrees with me. Not sure about the rest of you. But we find ourselves at a crossroads in human evolution where a new manifestation of humanity is emerging. And that's wonderful, fantastic, exciting news for many of us, but for many others who cannot understand what is happening, there is a fear of losing what has been comfortable and what has been safe. And through the heart of compassion, we can understand that. We can understand, and we have all felt it in different experiences in our lives, I'm sure, that fear of losing what we have known. But if we listen, we realize that when there is great change happening, when evolution is unfolding at a faster and faster and faster rate for us as human beings, we hear the call of the Christ and we rise to a new expression of love, an expression of resurrection. So let us speak an affirmation together as we begin this journey today. I'll say it first, and then we'll say it in each piece together. I rise into the fullness of divine love, a love that includes everyone, no exceptions. So together, I rise into the fullness of divine love. Okay. All right, let's try that again. We'll break it into smaller pieces. I rise into the fullness of divine love. A love that includes everyone. No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Very good. Pat yourselves on the back. Easter is traditionally all about the suffering of Jesus, the crucifixion and the resurrection. But that is not what the early followers of Jesus focused on. It wasn't until 400 years after Jesus was here that the focus began to shift from his teachings to the suffering and the crucifixion and all of that. There was no idea of sacrificial atonement for our sins those first 400 years. And so I've always questioned, what would Jesus really want us to remember? He would want us to remember his teachings. And he would want us to know this, I believe. Jesus didn't die for our sins. Jesus didn't die for love. He lived for love. Powerful statement. Yes, amen. He didn't seek out the powerful and the perfect. He sought out the ones who had been left out, the ones that society said did not belong. He healed people with leprosy who were considered untouchable. He shared meals with tax collectors. Oh, my gosh. And sinners. You know, maybe it's appropriate that Easter falls around April 15th. He welcomed and empowered women as spiritual leaders. He spoke with Samaritans, people outside of his own people. He even praised the faith of a Roman soldier, a so-called enemy. Jesus crossed boundaries to say, you are seen, you are welcome, and you belong. And you know what? That message resonates today. And perhaps it's needed even more today than it was in his time. If Jesus were walking the earth right now, where would he go? Who would he seek out? I think we know the answer. He would walk towards people. He would walk towards LGBTQ plus people who have been told by churches they don't belong. You belong in this church. Even if you're a drag queen Catholic nun, and especially if you're a drag queen Catholic nun. He would sit with the trans teen who had been kicked out of his home. He would hug the gay man who's afraid to tell his family. He would speak love to those who feel forgotten by religion, because that's who he always sought out, the ones on the edge, the ones the temple had turned away. I recall the words of Myrtle Fillmore, who said, we are all God's children, every one of us, and God sees only the good in us. God sees only the good in us. There's examples of this all through the Gospels. There were many more before the Gospels were changed through the centuries. But there were many examples. In Matthew 19, Jesus speaks of eunuchs, people who didn't fit traditional gender roles. Excuse me. And he said, some were born that way. He doesn't shame them. He includes them. And when a Roman centurion comes to him asking for healing for a beloved servant, some believe that that beloved servant was more than just a servant. It was his lover. Jesus didn't ask for details. He didn't question anything. He just healed. Powerful lesson right there. Charles Fillmore wrote, the heart of humankind is the church's temple, and the spirit of truth is its only guide. That spirit speaks through compassion, not judgment. And there were others that Jesus embraced. He had a remarkable, inclusive, empowering relationship with women in his ministry, which was quite radical for his day. He consistently broke the societal norms to engage with and uplift women. He welcomed them into his circle of followers and treated them as equals. Scholars say that there is more than enough evidence to know that many of the so-called apostles were actually women. There weren't just the 12 men. And those, you can read that in the Gospels that were removed from the Bible and other writings. Yeah. Take one of my classes, we'll explore them. But this was unusual in a society where women often had limited roles. And it was intentionally removed from the early texts. There were women that were part of Jesus' inner circle and had just as much influence and just as much authority as the men did. In fact, the early first century churches, well, first, second, and third century churches, were led predominantly by priestesses. And many of the bishops were women in those days. He empowered people, all people, including women, by teaching them directly. We see that in the story of Mary, who sits at his feet, a place that would have normally only been reserved for the most respected of the men. He demonstrated honor towards women with his respect toward them and his interactions. When he defended the woman caught in adultery and healed women, and he treated them as spiritual equals, emphasizing their importance in his ministry and acknowledging their faith and their contributions, such as when he praised the woman who anointed him with oil. These relationships were inclusive, they were empowering, they were respectful, and they set an example of equality and dignity that was revolutionary for his day and remains so even today. Likewise, when he went out and healed the lepers, lepers were considered the lowest of the low. It was believed by the Jewish people of that time that God was punishing them, and they weren't supposed to be even, they were hardly even considered human. And yet Jesus healed them without question. He also reached out to people of other faiths. In his time, religious identity was a dividing line. Who was in? Who was out? Who was clean? Who was unclean? Who was politically correct? Who was not politically correct? Sound familiar? Jesus crossed all the lines, shown by when he healed the servant of a Roman soldier, one of the so-called enemy. But he didn't see enemies. He saw a human being. And he saw the opportunity to demonstrate what love can do. A man who represented an oppressive empire was still embraced by Jesus. He said, in fact, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in all of Israel with such a great faith as this Roman centurion." He's saying that a deep spiritual insight and awareness can come from anywhere. It's not limited to certain people of a certain class. God's presence is not confined to any one group. Not one time did he ever say, "You must be the same religion as me." And when he spoke to crowds that contained people of many different religions, not just Jewish people. There's the story of the Samaritan woman at a well, where he sat down and had a conversation with her. Now, that was unusual for two reasons. One, she was a woman. Two, she was a Samaritan, almost kind of like the arch enemy of the Jewish people of the day, next to the Romans. And yet, Jesus just sat down and had a long discourse with her. He engaged her in deep conversation. He saw her value, he saw her worth, and he saw her potential. There's another story of a Samaritan, one of his most famous parables, when he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, a religious outsider who is the hero of the story, one who shows mercy and truly fulfills God's law. So the message in all of this was being close to God is not about a label. It's about how we love. How we love. Jesus did not require conformity. He did not require conversion. He only responded with compassion, faith, and openness wherever and whoever appeared in front of him. And that's what Easter should remind us of. It's an opportunity to rise to this level of consciousness. It's about rising to love that cannot be held back. It's about stepping out of the tombs we have been trapped in. The whole symbolism of the Easter week is entering into a higher consciousness and then crossing out that which has held us in bondage, has held us back, has prevented us from being as Jesus was, has kept us trapped in tombs of shame, of fear, of rejection, of exclusion. It's about rolling the stones away from our own tombs and showing that Christ's love for ourselves, for all others, no exceptions. No exceptions. That's a hard one. Right now, even in unity, we look and we say, well, I don't like what so-and-so is doing out there. Yes, there are things that are happening that are not for the highest good of all people. But when we come from a place of love, we can stand in our principles, we can stand in our truth, but we can acknowledge that there is still a Christ in every single human being. That presence of God is in every single human being. And we know that what we give our energy and attention to does what? Increases. If we give in to hate, if we give our energy and our words to hate, even if it's hate of things happening that are not good, what are we doing? We're increasing the energy of hate. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Keith talked about it last week if you were here. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That may be one of the most powerful things he ever said. It's how we roll the tomb away. The stone away, I mean. And step out of the tomb. It's how we step into that higher consciousness of divine love. Eric Butterworth said, you are not just a human being trying to get along in the world. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. But remember, you are the Christ of God, and the Christ in you rises when you choose to rise. When you choose love over fear. When you choose welcome over rejection. When you choose truth over silence. Martha Smock said it so beautifully when she said, you are a child of God and there are no mistakes in God. And everyone else is a child of God and there are no mistakes in God. There is no part of you or anyone else, really, who is wrong or broken. Oh yeah, I know, sometimes we don't live up to that, do we? We are human beings learning how to express the Christ. And sometimes we do it really well, and sometimes we do it really bad. But the fact is, we are whole. We are one in God. No part of us is wrong. No part of any human being is wrong or broken. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what your orientation is, your identity, your path. It's all part of the divine mosaic. And we are not here to judge. We are here to bless. We are here to say, you are holy. You are worthy. You are loved. James Dillett Freeman, many years ago, wrote a beautiful poem called I Am There. It's the only poem that is on the moon. Did you know there's a poem on the moon? Buzz Aldrin, when he went to the moon, took it up on a plaque and put it on the moon. It goes like this, and I invite you, take a breath, close your eyes if you feel comfortable, and imagine this is God speaking to you. Do you need me? I am there. You cannot see me, yet I am the light you see by. You cannot hear me, yet I speak through your voice. You cannot feel me, yet I am the power at work in your hands. I am at work, though you do not understand my ways. I am at work, though you do not understand my works. I am not strange visions. I am not mysteries. Only in absolute stillness beyond self can you know me as I am, and then but as a feeling and a faith. Yet I am here. Yet I hear. Yet I answer, when you need me, I am here. If you deny me, I am here. Even when you feel most alone, I am here. In your fears, I am here. And in your pain, I am here. I am here when you pray and when you do not pray. I am in you, and you are in me. Only in your mind can you feel separate from me. For only in your mind are the mists of yours and mine. Yet only with your mind can you know me and experience me. So empty your heart of empty fears. For when you get yourself out of the way, I am there. You can of yourself do nothing, but I can do all, and I am in all. Though you may not see the good is there, for I am there. I am there because I have to be. I am there because I am. Only in me does the world have meaning. Only out of me does the world take form. Only because of me does the world go forward. For I am the law on which the movement of the stars and the growth of living cells are founded. And though you fail to find me, I do not fail you. Though your faith is unsure, my faith in you is evermore. Because I know you, because I love you. Beloved, I am there. As a unity community, we honor that spirit. We recognize that truth is bigger than any one path, and that all people, regardless of their tradition, regardless of how they identify, regardless of who they love, regardless of anything, carry the light of God within them. And when we follow Jesus' example, we move beyond tolerance to true spiritual inclusion. So that let this Easter be a new awakening to walking together in a spirit of openness, a spirit of curiosity, a spirit of love, honoring many paths, building bridges instead of walls. And remember, Jesus did not die for our sins, nor did he die for love. Jesus lived for love and showed us how to do the same. And we can honor him today by living for love. Happy Easter. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.